If you take drugs, are you immediately discounted as a paranormal witness? Can ghosts sense when people are at their weakest? What can you do against an unmovable will? Today we test the believability of the poltergeists of Thornton Heath.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
This is a topic is well known. Poltergeists are, but this case is not so much.
The movie is.
What?
The movie Poltergeist?
Oh, I was like, there is a movie about this specific case.
Really? What's it called? Do you know?
The Poltergeist of Thornton Hill.
Oh, okay.
It's like Thornton Hill Poltergeist.
The Thornton Hill.
But it's like a super, like, under the radar movie.
Yeah. 80s?
I think maybe earlier even.
Wow.
Okay. Well, no, 80s sounds right.
80s, 90s.
So, really, I don't know if I want to do a lot of preamble. Do you just want to jump into the topic?
Yeah, I know nothing about this, so let's go.
I said poltergeists because it's two. And Thornton Heath is like a suburb under London.
Okay.
So we're going back to the UK.
Isn't it crazy? And I wish I would have said something because now you could say, you know, it's retroactive. I knew just based on the word Thornton that it was probably somewhere in England.
Yeah.
Or, you know, London, England.
UK. I wasn't sure. When I looked it up, I wasn't sure where it was. But yeah, it takes place in London. Well, in a suburb of London to the south.
So these poltergeists have a British accent?
You better believe your crumpet and scones they do.
Yeah.
Or Cheerios, or frogs in a hat, or whatever. Beans on toast. So there are two cases. One happens in the 1930s, and the other happens in the 1970s. We're going to start with the one in the 1930s. We're going to go chronological.
I appreciate that.
Although I had an inclination to not go that way.
But very, very silly if you would have done it that way.
It would have been. I did find an article that went the other way, that it started in the 70s and then went to the 30s.
And it should immediately be deleted.
There's not a lot out there about these cases.
Just a movie. Did you watch the movie?
I didn't watch it, no.
To prepare?
I don't think I would have liked it very much.
Too scary?
No, I don't think very good at all.
Oh.
They're both about families. Both about families. Although, when you think of a poltergeist, you think of a younger girl going through
a TV.
That's a reference to the movie. No, you think about a girl going from hitting puberty because there's a lot of...
I don't. I just think of like ghosts.
There's a lot of energy wrapped up in girls going through puberty, and it's been associated with that for a long time. Poltergeist activity and girls going through puberty. Neither of these cases has that. So the second one even makes me question if it is a poltergeist.
Yeah, I was about to ask, does that mean that in addition to questioning whether or not this is real, are we also questioning if it's a poltergeist?
Absolutely. That's okay. Definitely we should question.
Do we go through a little training session of a poltergeist?
I can do one like off the top of my head.
Okay.
A poltergeist can be a combination of a human spirit and a manifestation of energy coming from shifting or injury. So, like, girls going from one stage in life to another, or women going from not menopause to menopause. So, transitions in life where people are kind of, like, at their most fragile. And also, it sometimes focuses around boys getting into, not manhood, but prepubescence, like 10, 11.
So, these are spirits waiting for these energies to kind of bring them there?
It helps focus. It helps focus that energy. It's like what the thing that they draw on.
Mm.
And it helps them become super active. Because poltergeist, I think we all know, comes from the German noisy ghost. And they're called that because that's what they are. They're super aggressive entities. Some of the telltale signs are breaking glasses, pounding on walls. Not just like scratching, like demons or something. But like full on pounding, stomping. They can also... There's one case where there's a slight possession That's the one of the more famous ones. That's the Enfield possession.
Yeah.
It's the Enfield case.
The Enfield poltergeist, yeah.
I'm going to do that. I was so close to doing that this time. I was so close. But I wanted to go with something a little bit more...
obscure.
Yeah, a little more obscure. Because I thought it'd be super cool.
All right, training lesson on poltergeist pass.
Yeah.
Everyone
yeah.
gets a check mark. They're gold all, star.
Mm-hmm. You got a certificate now.
I don't think everybody knew it was called the Noisy Ghost, though.
I thought, you know what? I'm just so used to every article starting about poltergeist.
You gotta talk down to us, man.
Yeah, poltergeist comes from the German Noisy Ghost.
I think everybody has an idea of what a poltergeist is, but it's always good to cover that base.
Like, oh, I've heard of the movie.
Yeah, it's like a ghost, right? Yeah, I've seen the movie. I've heard about the movie.
Yeah, well, the thing about the poltergeist of the movie is I don't think that's actually a poltergeist. I think that's just like...
ghosties?
Yeah.
Ancient burial.
Exactly. The way it is, it doesn't come from the things I talked about.
So no, it doesn't.
Not a poltergeist. So let's move on to the 1938 case in Thornton Heath.
And that's a house?
They both are houses.
Okay.
Maybe detached, maybe like semi-detached houses. I'm not sure.
They're attached together? Like I mean, duplex?
That's a huge thing in England. A lot of houses are like that. I think all our UK listeners can attest that many houses are put together.
Hopefully they don't have really thin walls between the two houses.
I think it depends on who your builder is.
Yeah, I've been in an apartment before where it was very thin walls. Like, there was one, and it was connected in multiple corners, where I heard a baby crying always in one. I heard a guy yelling at his kid every day in the other, and there was a dog barking in the other.
Damn.
Yeah.
Did you ever get the kid, like, some candy or something?
No, but I did have a hammock that suction cupped to my huge window, and my cat would lay in the hammock. And sometimes I'd walk outside, and our neighbors across the way that I never spoke to would be like, hey, I like your white cat. It's like, thanks.
Thanks. Oh, was that the one that passed?
No, it was Gus.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
No, it wasn't Izzy.
Yeah.
Rip.
Izzy. So this story is delivered to us by a journalist named Nader Fodder, who is a Jewish journalist in London. And he told the story of Alma Fielding and her husband, son, and a lodger. Alma was 34 on the February 13th when the trouble started. She had been long plagued by kidney problems since childhood. She had a standing prescription for antibiotics and sedatives to fight it. She was out visiting friends when the old sudden telltale pain in her pelvis struck. She knew that that night was bound to be hard. Okay, do you have any questions so far? No, just started.
Kidney, pelvis pain.
Yep, okay. Got it. All right, cool. She went home and fought through the familiar burn. She went immediately to bed at home after taking her prescriptions. It was a cold, stormy February as she lay in her bed, fighting her quickly setting sickness. Alma had to be bedbound for quite a few days for this incident. Although, a few days into this isolation, her husband, Leslie, joined her because of his bleeding gums. All of his teeth had been removed to get him ready for a set of dentures.
Oh, so are they... Are they older then?
No, she's 34.
So she's there's the lodger, it's mm-hmm. the couple, and their son?
Their son.
And their son's fine right now.
Yep.
And she has kidney problems or...
Yes.
Okay. She has, sounds like a kidney stone or something like that.
I don't know. It's a constant kind of thing that keeps happening to her. It's like, it's been happening since childhood. I don't know what it is. Ugh. But she needs antibiotics for it. So I assume it's some kind of infection.
Okay, and he purposefully lost all his teeth?
They were pulled by the dentist.
So it was intentional.
It was intentional.
Okay, I didn't know if it was like, I didn't know when the supernatural element had started yet, but we're not there yet.
No, it's
we're
just,
not there yet.
That's just freaky.
That's just, okay.
I assume he had some teeth issues, a lot of teeth issues, and the dentist was just like, it, cut him out.
Yeah, if he would have been around for like 70, 60 more years, he could have had some dental implants, but.
3 days passed as the couple lay in bed suffering from their ailments. It was cold outside, and all their windows were fogged.
Was the lodger taking care of their son?
I mean, he's 16, you'll find out.
Oh, okay.
So I think he's just living his life.
He's like, I was just here, you know, as a guest paying rent, but I guess I could pick him up from school.
They are? I mean, he almost is part of the family the way they treat him. You'll see.
We need groceries. We like almond milk.
George, get us something nice. Okay. Pizza George.
The rabbits, George. Oh, that's Lenny.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's Lenny talking to George. You got what I was saying.
It was cold outside and their windows were all frosted outside. That Friday is when Alma noticed something strange. A six-fingered handprint emerging in the frost. As that evening fell and the days went to switch to midnight, the couple was drifting into sleep when they snapped awake as a glass shattered. When they woke up and turned the lamp on, they saw what had once been a tumbler now into a million pieces on the ground, and they saw another glass object fly across the room and break. Leslie whispered to his wife in the quiet room to put the light out. In the dark, their blanket flew up over their faces, and they both struggled to turn on the light through the blanket, but failed. They called to their son, Donald, for help. Hurrying into his parents' room, he ripped open the door and ducked as a glass makeup jar shot over his head. George, the lodger, ran in to help too. He did not duck, but he was only hit by a few coins.
He was hit by the, what's his name's teeth? Dude, what if he got bit by floating dentures?
That would be intense.
What?
Donald went to turn on the lights, and he found he couldn't. Thinking quickly, he lit a match to see that the light bulb had already vanished from the lamp. It was found on the other side of the room, in one piece, and still warm to the touch. Donald and George stayed in Alma and Leslie's room for about 40 minutes until they went to bed themselves. So, they found the light bulb on the other side of the room, and it was still warm. That's what's really interesting to me.
I think the most interesting thing to me visually is this six-fingered handprint on the window. Because it's like, I would assume it's like, it's not two thumbs, right? They probably had five fingers, right?
Five fingers and a thumb? That's what I assumed too.
That's just, so, because you said poltergeists were kind of humanish, but that seems, I mean, how does that land for you?
To me, it feels like a manifestation of the energy of the house. There's like this doom and gloom that's going on, that it's gross outside. Leslie's probably in a lot of pain. Alma's in so much pain. She's been bedbound for like 5 days. I think it's just like this like sickness that maybe an entity is taking advantage of and using to fuel its torture or something.
And you think that entity is a poltergeist?
I think so, yeah. I believe this is a poltergeist.
It doesn't seem humanish to me.
I agree. I don't think it necessarily is. I think it can be more than a human. You know how we talked about how a tulpa comes from a lot of people thinking about something really hard?
But the problem is I believe in poltergeists and I don't believe in tulpas.
Well,
so I'm struggling with
this. Maybe you need to adjust that a little bit.
I think their pain could draw something, but I don't think their pain and that energy could create something.
I think you're both right. I think you're right. I think something came and is using that energy.
Yes, I'm on the same page now.
To kind of feed into its power.
Maybe I need to get this aspect of a poltergeist down. Was a poltergeist ever human?
Could be. It's unclear.
Like, because if it was, I don't think it would be leaving that handprint. This feels non-human to me. Well, unless it's changed so much since. But when you die, what makes you, you're not going to heaven or hell, you're a poltergeist.
I feel like it's like a ghost on steroids, literal steroids. And when there's so much misery in the house, those are the steroids.
Instead of getting pimples on your back, you get an extra finger on your hand.
Maybe it does suffer some kind of mutation.
I like the steroid analogy because of lack of even keelness, you know, getting a temper, throwing tantrums. I don't know. I need to hear more.
Okay. More. There's more to this story. So that's good.
Okay. Listen, guys, I know it's been a minute since I've talked about trying to get to 8% body fat, but that deadline is coming up.
I've been hitting the gym, too, and trying to get in better shape as well.
And that is why we've both been trying AG1 Athletic Greens.
I started taking AG1 because with my other, quote, protein powders, I wasn't seeing results.
Exactly. But with a single scoop of AG1, you're getting 75 high-quality minerals, vitamins, whole food-sourced superfoods, and probiotics.
Well, that's fine, but let's talk about the real selling point. It actually tastes good and isn't all grating like some of the other protein powders.
My suggestion? Just add it to your routine, right? Like, you wake up, start listening to that new Believing the Bizarre episode while you're making your AG1, and before we even start diving into the topic, you've consumed a shake that has less than 1 gram of sugar, supports mental clarity and alertness without any nasty chemicals.
So essentially, it's like a life hack. And don't just take our word for it. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. And on top of all that, for every purchase, Athletic Greens donates to organizations that help get nutritious food to kids in need, like No Kid Hungry.
Skip the supplements and the dozens of various pills. You can reclaim your health and arm your immune system with daily nutrition. All it takes is just one scoop of AG1 and a cup of water every day. That's it.
Still on the fence? To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase.
That's right. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/emerging.
Again, that is athleticgreens.com/emerging to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. That morning, Alma woke up feeling better, actually. She went down to the kitchen to make breakfast. But to continue with the mayhem of last night, an egg cut through the air and smashed at Alma's feet. As she went to make her tea after cleaning up the egg, her saucer broke clean in half. Alma didn't know what to do, but she didn't call the police. She called the press. The Sunday Pictorial happened to be running a series on the paranormal. Alma said to the press, "Come to my house. There are things going on here I cannot explain."
Come to my house. There are things going on here I cannot explain.
You know what struck me with that?
What?
So it feels so natural, right? Like, she wakes up, she feels better, she goes downstairs to make breakfast.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Standard. In like 40 years from now, so in like, in, you know, 2060, people are going to be telling old-timey ghost stories like, and he woke up and he pulled out his phone and he scrolled through TikTok and then he scrolled through Twitter and then he went downstairs and realized there was nothing in the fridge. So he went to McDonald's for breakfast, came back with a sausage McMuffin, and then the scary stuff happened. So, you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
Like, that is...
But when he came into the house,
yeah,
it was everywhere.
He wanted to go to Chick-fil-A, but it was Sunday. You know, it's just like... Like, it's just crazy how that is, like, so natural when you hear a story, like, that's what comes to mind.
Yeah.
But then it's, and I'm not saying everybody lives that life that I just said, but you know what I mean? It's like, I woke up, scrolled through his phone, you know, went pee, then went to go get breakfast. I don't know.
So as soon as the two reporters that the paper had sent arrived, they witnessed another egg levitate down the hallway and land out in the yard by their feet.
So they witnessed it?
Yes.
Okay.
As Alma walked them to the kitchen, they saw a pink toy dog shake at them and a sharp can opener fly around the room at head height. After making tea, they moved into the sitting room, and as Alma raised her cup to take a sip, the teacup and the saucer completely floated out of her hands. The plate then spun and fractured in the air. A part of that jammed into Alma's thumb, causing her to bleed.
Ooh.
While tending Alma's thumb, the guests heard more glass breaking from the kitchen. They said another egg smashed on the sitting room door, and a coal from the fire zoomed at one of the reporters. The reporters ran a story where they called the family occupants of the House of Fear. And that is how this case ends.
So nothing happened after that?
No.
That seems very anticlimactic.
It does. That's the last I heard of it.
It makes me wonder what happened next in terms of, like, was that the last thing that happened?
I don't know.
Were they on drugs?
Well, Alma was. She was on sedatives.
Yeah, but what about the news reporters?
Oh, were they on drugs?
Yeah.
No.
I'm alluding to your opening questions.
My opening question was that because Alma is on sedatives.
I got you. But if she was the only one that experienced something, then I totally get it.
Yeah.
But you have these news reporters witnessing things as well.
That's true.
I wonder if they did anything after that story to cleanse the place.
I hope they did.
Yeah.
That would be my next impression. The next story is going to talk about cleansing. But in the 30s, so this was like on the brink of World War II. This is 38. Like Hitler was just about to invade Poland if he hadn't already. And England knew that something was up in Europe. So they're a little bit distracted by that as well.
And these guys are just trying to get a story out there.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy, but literally there were documents that came out about aliens existing, but it's like COVID. Do you remember when people were going to rush Area 51?
They did.
Yeah, but when we were talking about it.
Oh, yeah, that was while we were on the other podcast.
Yeah, I know, but it's a very stark memory in my head. I just imagine all those people getting mowed down.
By machine guns?
Yeah.
I don't think they'd kill them. They didn't kill them.
They didn't. That would have been my concern.
Yeah, me too. That's why we didn't do it, I think. So that is the first case, the poltergeist case of Thornton Heath. I think you're going to think this next case is a little bit less credible. And do you want me to tell you why, or you just want to hear it?
No, I just want to hear it.
Okay. All right.
You can tell me why after.
Oh, you'll know why.
Okay.
So this case takes place in 1972, same city of Thornton Heath. Very, very haunted little suburb.
So this house isn't connected to the other house?
No, not in the same place, just it's a different address.
Okay.
Just
why was I thinking these two stories were... we were talking about that,
they're
right?
These houses are not connected. They're connected because they're in the same city.
Oh, okay. I was thinking that these two experiences took place at connected places.
No. The unnamed residents heard the blaring of a clock radio first. That's when the whole thing started. From there, it all snowballed. Whatever it was, banged on the walls and stomped on the ceilings. With the noise came a specter that appeared as an ominous figure. It gave off the presence of pure malice. The family felt these disturbances for months. And in that time, violent activity began happening. Pictures fell from the walls, glasses and plates flew out of cupboards, and lamps leapt from the table and shattered over the head of the father. A few days before Christmas, the family watched in terror as, quote, the Christmas tree violently shook and ornaments flew off in all directions, shattering against the walls, unquote. To anyone that studies the paranormal, it seems as though the family may have had a poltergeist. But some would argue that this was not the case when the sound of heavy footsteps and voices were heard on the second floor. Now, some would argue that this is not the case because some people think that this incident might have just been that of ghosts, and we're going to get to why that is later, but I will argue that stomping and being on walls is indeed what poltergeists do. I just want to throw that out there. The family found nothing when they checked the noises, because, of course, nothing was there. They decided to have family and friends over to try to liven up the house over the course of the events unfolding. So they had friends over, and they had a good time by eating and drinking, and it was a lot of fun, until they all heard banging on the front door. They stopped and stared at each other, and in that moment, the door blew open, and the lights flickered and went out. Everyone in the house left screaming. The next day, the family contacted a local church, and a priest was immediately sent to the home. A blessing of the property was performed. Unfortunately, it didn't seem to work. The entity stepped up to taunting. It banged even louder on the walls, and loud crashes came from upstairs. And that's also when the figure started to appear. It gave off nothing but evil. Quote, following the failed blessing, the family was put in touch with the spiritualist medium. When the medium arrived, she immediately sensed the presence of two spirits in the home. The medium explained the spirits were a farmer and his wife named Shanton. The Shantons, the ghosts, considered the family to be trespassers and attempted to make them leave using any methods at their disposal. The medium tried to get the spectral couple to leave, but they flatly refused. This was their home, and no one was going to make them leave, even if they were dead, unquote. And after about 4 years of activity, the Shantons got their way. The family that lived there packed up and abandoned. And that's how that ends.
I think the most remarkable thing of the entire story is we got the name of the entity and not anyone else. Like if you were going to someone's house and it was haunted by something and someone was like $50, do you think you're more likely to get anyone in the house's name or the entity's name? 9 times out of 10, or 10 times out of 10, not counting this story, you would get the family's name or the medium's name.
Mm-hmm.
But instead we
get one else is named.
We get the poltergeist name.
Well, I think the idea that they were actually ghosts. But anyway, now we got the cliff notes on a poltergeist, what it actually is. And my two cases that we presented. Do you wanna go to the discussion?
Yeah.
Let's just stop the episode here really quick, and let's thank all those people at the time of the recording who have joined our Patreon. Charlotte, Mandy, Lissa, Amara, Demarius, and Catherine.
You know what it sounds like to me?
What's that?
It sounds like we're getting closer to someone getting a tattoo.
We are. We're almost getting, it's going.
It's about 70 some people.
It's going, it's inching closer and closer, and I'm okay with that because I'm excited.
Also, heads up to our existing patrons, and if you join soon, when we get to 175 patrons is when we plan on bringing back our theatrical readings.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was a big project that we, I think, probably underestimated when we first started.
Yeah, we were ambitious. But we wanted to make sure we put out content that you guys enjoyed and stuff that we were excited about doing. And I also want to throw this out there because we have a couple leads, but a couple people have hit us up. If you are a fiction writer and you like writing short stories in the paranormal world, send us a DM or an email or something because we do pay for submissions.
Yeah, we would love if you listened and found and wanted to participate in that because it would be like almost in-house, you know?
It's good. It's a good ecosystem.
Yeah.
Charlie, what else can people expect when you join the Patreon?
People can expect to listen to Do You Believe the Bizarre? A game where we try to pick out stories with our producer, Ben, who's a great guy. He's pretty funny. And you can also listen to our exclusive interviews where we present the cases of the people that have been on the show.
Well, we don't present the cases.
They present their own cases.
Yes.
Because we're interviewing them. And that's always so much fun. And we also talk about movies that we watch on Netflix together. And there's a lot of really good stuff that happens. Quizzes are one of my favorite things because I'm really competitive. What do you like, Tyler?
I like the fact that we have new ideas coming because believe it or not, next month already is our 1-year anniversary of launching the Patreon.
Wow.
And myself, along with Charlie and producer Ben, have had many conversations. We have new stuff coming up, so it's never a bad time to join, but I will say in the next couple months, there will be some changes, some addition to something, some edits, you know, but it'll all be good stuff. So if you're interested in more bonus content and you want to catch up on extra stuff, Patreon is the place to do it.
And with that, let's get back to the episode. So Tyler, so we talked about these two cases from Thornton Heath, England. I only did one atrocious British accent that I might not keep.
Yeah. No, I think you should.
Okay, just to make sure everyone knows that we can't do it.
Yeah. I used to be really good at accents in general.
I think it's I was better shame. In the past.
We were more into acting.
I think there. I lean into it too hard now.
Yeah, you have to be subtle.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of subtlety.
No?
I don't think so. I don't think I'm very subtle at all. Anyway, get off me.
It's not about me.
Let's talk about these poltergeists. So, again, what is a poltergeist? It's this thing, this entity. Does it have to be human? Was it human at one point? That's where I always find the struggle with poltergeists. Like, are they human? Are they their own thing? Are they manifestation? I think, I like what I said earlier. I think it's a human entity that is pumped up by emotions, kind of like steroids. Because, like you said, it throws tantrums every now and again. It has that roid rage, I guess you could say. And it's powerful. It's always powerful. And it can even bleed into possession.
I think, for me, the way that my mind is trying to grasp onto this, it goes from A to C. Person dies, becomes a spirit, and all of a sudden it's drawn to negative energy and is a poltergeist. I feel like it's missing the qualifier. Like if you die, what makes you become a poltergeist? Like what qualifies one person to become a poltergeist versus someone else maybe just a harmless spirit or like energy that just is existing in a certain place with trauma or moving on to an afterlife, you know? Like, I'm missing why someone would become a poltergeist.
How does it happen?
Or why?
I don't know. I think you can have a ghost in a house, and I think you can have a poltergeist, but the poltergeist comes from directly feeding off of the people. That's my answer, I guess. Like, a ghost doesn't so much feed off the people, right? But a poltergeist feeds off what's happening in the family and uses that.
Like the Ryan Reynolds thing. But why?
But why?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you can ask that about many things we talk about, but why?
Well, but the thing is like, it's like there's two paths, right? I mean, there's more, like, we don't know anything, but it's like, if you die, it's like, okay, like, it's like there's a checkpoint, and it's like, all right, you go this way, you're just a spirit. All right, you go this way, you're a poltergeist. I guess, like, unless it takes on the person and how they were in when they were living, I'm just, like I said, it feels like I'm going from A to C, and there's like a whole middle section that I just don't get.
And I don't know if I can fill it in for you.
Nobody knows.
Yeah. I
Steven Spielberg. He's the one that knows.
I think it comes from family trauma. If you have a house that's going through a lot of pain and heartache and physical pain, like Alma and her husband, if you already have a ghost, it's going to take on that energy and use it. That's my guess.
See, I think of the house and the energy as the external. I'm trying to understand the internal. Like, what makes a spirit either become a poltergeist or stay a spirit? Or are they two completely different things? And if that's the case, what qualifies you as one or the other? I feel like I'm a broken record. I'm sorry. This is just the way I'm trying to talk myself through it, but I don't think I'm going to be able to.
Well, think about it this way. What if a house, there are two houses.
Mm-hmm.
Both are haunted.
Perfect.
One is a very happy family.
Is it our house?
No. One is a very happy family.
Yes.
Nuclear family, you could say.
Okay.
Very happy. The other has chronic illness, a wife and husband who are on the verge of divorce. I would argue that house that has those issues is more likely to get that poltergeist because it draws on those negative feelings. Where the happy family maybe have a spirit that they don't really acknowledge. They don't even know about, really.
That's still the external, though. It seems like you're saying there's a happy house that's haunted,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a negative energy house that is haunted that may draw a poltergeist.
No. The ghost is already there.
Okay.
Right?
So are you saying negative energy can turn a normal spirit into a poltergeist?
That's what I'm trying to say with my example. So they're very similar spirits, but one is getting that steroid boost of those negative feelings.
I feel like that gives the spirit then no agency. It's kind of like, if you are a spirit, you succumb to your environment. And even if you were a very happy person before you died, if you are a spirit trapped in a place and it becomes negative based on the humans that inhabit it, you will become a poltergeist.
I don't know the rules, maybe.
Yeah. See, that's...
Okay. All right.
But anyway, we could talk specifically about these. If anybody out there is like a poltergeist expert, hit us up.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear the rationale.
I'm curious to see how correct I am.
I don't think it's correct or incorrect because it's not a science. And if it was a science, it'd be like the softest, like mushy cheese, like queso. Like that type of softness, like not like cheddar.
Sounds like a delicious science.
Soft science, if it was, which, you know, they say psychology is a soft science, so I assume that.
Education is too. So the first case, Alma's case, Alma Fielding. Now there's the question of like, what was happening? Was she sedated so that caused it? But you're right. There are so many witnesses to what happened with Alma.
At least, I mean, George,
Leslie,
Donald, and then was there one reporter or two?
Two reporters.
Yeah. So that's quite a few people. So even if she was sedated or was on prescription drugs, which she was, that's, you know, like 18% of the people, 20% of the people there.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many witnesses to that family. And yeah, a lot of them are inside the house, inside the family. But there are two reporters who witnessed things and were even attacked.
Do you think since nothing happened, they just feel like they wrote a very bad article?
Yeah, I don't know.
They're just like, man, I thought that was going to take off.
Well, it was one of many.
Dude, they're like, this is going to change my career. It's World War II. Like, damn it.
Yeah, bad timing. That's exactly what happened.
That's bad career timing. That's like somebody, making a genie wish. And they're like, I want to write the best article ever. And then they do it on the day that World War II starts. Yeah.
So I guess let's ask, do you think that's a poltergeist?
I don't feel qualified to
answer that.
Yeah.
I guess that's fair. But can we say this? Was there some kind of activity?
Yes. I feel confident that there was activity there. I don't feel smart. I don't feel intelligent enough or educated enough
to quantify it as a poltergeist.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I could qualify if it's a poltergeist or if it's a spirit or anything like that. That's something that I've always kind of like, how do I want to put this? There's people that struggle with effect and effect. Mm-hmm. There's people that struggle with two, two, and two. Mm-hmm. There's people that struggle with there and there. And I feel like there's just a certain point in your life where you're like, I'm always going to be bad at this. Like, I'm bad with effect and effect. And you can try and explain to me all day, this one normally goes at the end. And this way, listen, my grammar, my syntax is like 98%. The 2% I'm missing is effect and effect.
Mine is which and which and which.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I used to have trouble saying that wait word. And wait, or waste and waste, like your waste, mm-hmm. and then we're wasting energy right now, this podcast. Just kidding. But anyway, my point being that poltergeists and ghosts are always something that I've always felt was in my blind spot, and now it's being exposed.
Okay. Here's the thing. I feel like I've never been able to determine where the difference is, but I think it comes from that pain of the family. Like we mentioned the poltergeist movie.
Yeah.
How I don't think that's a poltergeist because that doesn't come from one of those circumstances.
It would not surprise me if Steven Spielberg made that movie not completely knowing what a poltergeist was, but just wanted to give it a name better than, you know, like maybe the first script, the screenplay was called Ghost. And he was like,
The first one was called Indian Skeletons.
Spectre.
Or Native American Skeletons.
But going back, I don't know whether or not it's a poltergeist, but I do believe there's paranormal activity happening at this house. We got floating eggs. Uh-huh. We got can openers. We got windows breaking. The fingerprint, that's like the image for me. I don't know if I'll be able to make that graphic on this episode.
Good image.
But if I somehow can, I don't know how I could do that.
Yeah, it was above their fireplace.
Yeah, I definitely think there's paranormal activity happening in this house.
It's just so all of a sudden, too.
Yeah, and without any resolution, which I hate,
I do too.
There's a certain realness to that. Like, in the real world, we don't always get answers, and things don't always work out the way that you would expect them to start to finish Hollywood or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes things you can't explain, and it's not like a perfect circle.
There's no perfect arc to this.
I hate that it goes away. It makes no sense to me, but at the same time, it's like, it actually makes me believe it more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like that there's an arc to this, but let's move on to the next case.
I wouldn't even call this a case.
What do you call it?
Story. I would call it a story.
That's pretty good. I agree, because we don't know any of the characters' names.
Characters. You say characters. See, yeah, it's a story.
I'm going with you. So tell me about it. What do you think?
I think it's a good story. I think it's interesting.
Yeah. Why do you think it was made up?
Just because there's no facts. That's all.
No. Like, why do you think someone wrote it?
I think it's because it's the same town. I mean, for 40 years, you're hearing about this other case. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think somebody took liberties. Here's the real shame. I think there's a possibility that it's real. And, well, I guess there's two. It's either fake or real. If it's real, it's such a shame that all the information was not included, because that just feels like such a ball drop to me.
I agree.
Because it's not even like we get the medium's name. And
or the priest.
Yeah, like if we got their name, but it's like the family preferred not having their names told in the story.
Mm-hmm.
There's at least that almost like based on a true story thing. But just the way it's presented, it just feels like, oh, there's this really popular thing that happened in our town. What if it came back somewhere else?
I know. Here's the thing for me. There's a lot of details that are missing. Supposedly it happened for 4 years. And there's like one great scene with the Christmas tree.
The scene.
There's one other great scene with the family and the figure in the lights going out.
Mm-hmm. Three moments over 4 years.
Exactly.
But something, so Because it seemed like that stuff happened earlier on, right?
Yeah, I think you can assume that.
So we get the details of what happened early on, but we don't get the details of what happened 4 years later that actually was the catalyst to making them leave. Like, clearly mm-hmm. what we heard was not enough to make them leave, unless the housing market was...
total trash.
Yeah, yeah, so... Yeah, I don't believe that. I like... It's a shame. If it's true, it's a shame the way that it currently exists mm-hmm. online.
I agree. But
based on what I heard just now, I don't believe that story. I think it is a story.
I totally agree. So how do you want to do the scale? Do you want to do like one for one for the other? Or do you want to do them both? Because if you do them both, it's like a curve.
Yeah, if it's a curve, I'm going to have to go viable. I'm literally complete spectrum shift.
I am too.
I think... like complete pendulum. I think the first story is believable, and I think the second story is unbelievable.
I feel the exact same way.
How do you want to frame it?
Let's give credit to Alma that say her story is believable, but I don't believe the other story, 1974.
So how do you want to rank the episode then? Because does the episode get hit by the unbelievable then? I mean, we can say like it might not be represented on a graphic on Instagram. Like, we can say we believe this one, we don't believe that one. But I feel like, as a whole, this episode... Because we can't just pretend like we didn't talk about the second story.
Right. So I say viable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I want more details. At least names.
A lot more
details.
At least
give me a name. Like, the fact that we got the entity's name.
Yeah.
And not the people's name. Like, come on,
son. It's ridiculous. So that's our episode on the poltergeists of Thornton Heath. Which
is Heath?
Heath.
The Heath, poltergeists
of Thornton Heath.
Thank you. We're Slytherin parcel tongues.
Thank you for coming with us. Two crazy stories. One of them really is believable.
I'm interested to see what the feedback is based on our discussion on what a poltergeist is.
I am too.
Normally,
I wonder if people are going to be behind us, or are they like not like what we said?
I don't think it'll be a for us or against us. I think it's just going to be an information discussion.
I'd be cool with an information dump.
Because normally things are pretty cut and dried. Like, sometimes we don't understand every aspect of something. But when you do like the Dover Demon, you describe what it is, what it looks like. You don't know if it's cryptid or an alien, but it kind of like... And then you tell the story or something, or the mm-hmm. Fresno Nightcrawlers, where this is like, there's so much, like, it's just so ambiguous, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know where that line is between spirit and poltergeist, or demonic and poltergeist.
You know? I just don't know enough about it, so that's on me to do more research and learn, and go to Ranker and Reddit and Quora and Wikipedia.
Quora, for sure.
What do you guys think about poltergeists? Good movie.
So if you liked our discussion about the poltergeist and learning about these cases, if you hadn't heard them before, because I hadn't, but if you already knew about them and you liked how we told them and you liked the stories, feel free to give the show a review on Spotify and or a review and ranking on Apple.
And if you want to stay in touch, have some conversations, get some behind the scenes stuff, we are on Discord. Shout out Jalen for hooking that up. So check out our Discord, a bunch of different conversations going on. We're building a community. We have so many. It's like Instagram's its own community. Our Facebook group is its own community. We have Discord now. It's like we got many hats over here, but it's cool. But more than anything, we appreciate everybody listening. We had another record-breaking week last week. So we really do appreciate all the support. We appreciate everybody giving us your ear. Giving us your ear.
Yes.
Yes. When there's many things you've been doing in your free time, or your work. Hopefully, you're enjoying this during work, maybe. Two birds, one stone. But either way, we appreciate your listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.